Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is welcome and acclaimed as he rides into Jerusalem. People spread their cloaks and leafy palm branches on the ground to honor him. There is a sense of celebration as the people call out their praises. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But there is also, I think, a sense of desperation. Hosanna means save us, Lord. Save us, Jesus, they cry. These are people under occupation looking for a Messiah to free them. People experiencing challenges of health, of poverty, of broken relationships. They are looking for someone to save them, someone to heal them, someone to free them from Roman oppression. But instead, this story quickly turns ugly. Jesus threatens the powers that be. The chief priests say all the world is coming after him. Just days after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus is arrested. He is humiliated and executed as a criminal. So you all have noticed by now that when I discover a new author or a theologian, you all get to come along with me. So again today, we have words from Debbie Thomas. And Debbie tells this story. Some years ago, when my daughter was in middle school, she became anorexic. During the worst of her illness, she had to be hospitalized for both her physical and mental health. On the morning of her admission, after the doctors explained that I would not be able to see my depressed, malnourished child for several days, I walked out of the hospital, got into my car, and started driving without aim or purpose. I ended up in the parking lot of a Catholic gift shop I'd never seen before. Shaking, I walked in and wandered the aisles until a woman with a kind face approached me. "Can I help you find anything?" she asked. I burst into tears and said nothing. She gave me a hug and said, "Wait here." After disappearing for a minute, she returned with a small velvet box. Inside was a tiny silver crucifix on a chain. Pressing the necklace into my hands, she said, "Hold this. Keep it with you. Only a suffering God can help." I've never forgotten the line, which I later learned was Dietrich Bonhoeffer's, and I've been thinking about it pretty much nonstop since the coronavirus pandemic began. This was written in 2020 or 2021. Only a suffering God can help. Holy Week is when we remember God's suffering in the death of Jesus. We walk with Jesus through the Last Supper when he eats with his beloved friends, even the ones who will deny and forsake him, even the one who has already betrayed him. We walk with Jesus through arrest and torment as he carries his cross through the streets of Jerusalem as he dies on a cross. It is a story that is at the core of who we are as Christians. And yet it's also a story that is challenging to understand. In our theological studies, we call the discussion of what the crucifixion and resurrection means atonement theories. Atonement, at-one-ment. Atonement theories are ideas about why the death and resurrection of Jesus makes us at one with or in harmony with God. What we know from our study of Scripture and our faith is that Jesus came to reconcile us with God. But the Bible itself holds many images and ideas for how this works. Was Jesus sent to die as a scapegoat or a sacrifice to atone for our sins so that our just God could forgive us. For me, that image holds, an image of a vengeful God that some of us can't relate to our experience and understanding of God's steadfast love and grace. Did Jesus die to defeat death so that we no longer fear death? Did Jesus come simply to live among us, to teach us how to live as God's people and die because human greed and power and jealousy could not stand such a pure example of faithfulness, love, and grace? Again, Debbie Thomas writes, "These are all essential questions, and wise, probing minds have considered them for centuries. But right now, what strikes me most is not the theology. What strikes me is the story itself, bare and unadorned. The story of betrayal, denial, and abandonment. The story of cruel, unjust trials, false accusations, and Jesus' mysterious silence. The story of floggings, the story of thorns, the story of bloody wounds and oxygen-deprived lungs. The story of what happens when the God we want and think we know doesn't show up, and another God, a less efficient, less aggressive, far less muscular God, shows up instead. So often, I think I know exactly what kind of savior I need, the savior of swift repair, of majestic intervention, of tangible presence and butter-soft landings. But here's the thing, that savior is not Jesus. Embracing this shamed and suffering God, much less following him, is not easy. On the cross, Jesus bears the violence, the contempt, the pain, and the humiliation of the entire world and absorbs it into his own body. He declares solidarity for all time with those who are abandoned, colonized, oppressed, accused, imprisoned, beaten, mocked, and murdered. He bursts open like a seed so that new life can grow and replenish the earth. He takes an instrument of torture and turns it into a bizarre vehicle of hospitality and communion for all people everywhere. Jesus was and is many things: teacher, healer, companion, and Lord. And it is essential that we experience him in all of these ways. But the center, the heart of who he is revealed at the cross. Only a suffering God can help. Only a suffering God can help us bear our own burdens. Only a suffering God can show us the way and lead us home. Only a suffering God can teach us how to love. Throughout this season of Lent, we've been exploring our baptism and what it means in our lives. Being claimed and named as beloved of God, being forgiven our sins, being sent into the world as representatives of God's love. As God's forgiven people, baptized and beloved, we welcome, we grow, and we serve. It's not easy to live as God's people in this world. It's not easy to be called to shine light in dark places, to love the neighbors God gives us, even those who are different than us, even those with such deep need. It's not easy. It's not an easy time, and many of us have a sense of being overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world, by all the dissension in this country. I feel like I have to take a deep breath and prepare myself every time I open my news app. Okay, now what? It's a challenging days. But we get through these days because we know that our God is with us, and their God, our suffering God, knows what we experience and loves us in the middle of it. So I'm going to close with one more section from Debbie Thomas. I'll be honest, she says, like many of you, I come to this Holy Week tired, uncertain, and afraid. Who knows how many deaths lie waiting around the corner? How many sorrows, disappointments, farewells, and jagged endings we will face before resurrection comes home to stay? I can't imagine most of it, and sometimes I can't bear any of it, but Jesus can. If anything in the Christian story is true, then this must be true as well. Our suffering God will not leave us alone. There is no death we will die, small or big, literal or figurative, that Jesus will not hold in his crucified arms. So, welcome to Holy Week. Here we are. And here is our suffering, sorrowing, saving God. Here are our hosannas, broken and unbroken, hopeful and hungry. Here is the cross upon which we stand. Blessed is the one who comes to die so that we will live. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.